Now's the time to hear those much needed words of exhortation to deliver those for us today, our brother Matthew.
Thanks, Brother Mark. And good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. So we're blessed today with yet another opportunity to remember the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ together as a body of believers in him. And we're going to take some thoughts from our reading in James this morning, but before we do, I just want to read a section from Psalm 103. So Psalm 103, starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And so in this Psalm of David, he brings out many of the attributes of God in his words, and including God's mercy toward us and God's patience with us. And in the letter that James writes, patience or endurance or steadfastness, depending on the version that you're reading, is mentioned a number of times. And James begins his letter in this way in chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience, as God, through his inspired word, teaches us, is much more than simply waiting for something without complaining or sitting in silence. It involves not allowing anger to be the go-to emotion, but it's more than that too. It's a character trait that is tried and exercised every day, a fact that I can attest to, as I'm sure those of you who've had young children or spent much time around them can attest to as well. But patience is something that's required in more than just one aspect of life. As followers of Jesus, it is necessary in everything we do and in every interaction we have with others. It's bound up in who God is and how he has revealed himself to us. And I'd just like to go all the way back to Exodus and chapter 34. And think for a couple of minutes here on the character of God. So Exodus 34 and beginning at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. So the character of Almighty God and who he is described here includes this long-suffering or patience that we've read. This is part of who God is and part of the character that we strive to emulate. In Psalm 86, verse 15, it says, another Psalm of David, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And there are similar sentiments in Psalm 103, which we started with, and Psalm 145, verse 8. Proverbs 14, verse 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8 to 9 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And also in our middle daily reading portion, which we didn't read, Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Lord is slow to anger, or patient, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And so mercifully, the God who we serve is slow to anger. He's patient with people, even though he knows their outcome and the thoughts and intents of their hearts. But he will surely judge according to his time and will not let the wicked go unpunished. Back into James then, in James 1 verse 3, which we read, there's the phrase there, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so patience is exercised through experiences, although it may seem like we're often running out of patience an awful lot. Every time we're tried, we have the opportunity to exercise this difficult to develop character trait. So I think we could say the one who is least patient has taken the least of opportunities to exercise and develop it. In our reading for today in James chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Well, Job and his patience. He certainly didn't seem too happy for most of the book that's written about him. And he was certainly not without fault and sin. But we can learn from his endurance and perseverance to continue to live despite massive trouble and heartache. And we've read this chapter 12 this morning already. Chapter 12 and from verse 7 to 25, Job's understanding is evident of God's might and power. His creative work and the ability to bring the work of mortal man to nothing. And in James's letter, we have two different Greek words for patience. In James 1 and verse 3 and 4 and chapter 5 and verse 11, it's a different word to the time that we read patience in chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8. I don't want to get into a word study, but I just wanted to mention it. And I find it interesting that if we turn back to Colossians 1, verse 11, we have both of these words in the same verse. Colossians 1, verse 11, starting reading at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And so having both of these words here in Colossians 1, verse 11, gives the emphasis that there's both the long-spirited and forbearing side of patience and also cheerful endurance. And coming back into James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, read again, Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And just think about these words from Hebrews 10 in relation to those two verses in James 5. Hebrews 10 verses 36 and 37 read, For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Also in relation to verse 7 and 8 here, just a page over in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. That reads, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so our Heavenly Father finds more pleasure in seeing the development of faith of one of his children than of the pure fine gold, a substance that he himself has created and deemed very good. And so James then touches on this connection to faith. And he addresses an age-old question in his letter, which is more important, faith or works? And of course, they are of both of utmost importance. And James gives examples of believers who showed both faith and works. Abraham in chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Rahab in chapter 2, verse 25. Job in 5:11, which we read. And Elijah in 5:17. So we come down to chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And let's read those again. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And so the question arises, are we living each day as if the Lord, the judge, is standing right at the door? And the King James says, the judge standeth before the door. I like the New American says, the judge is standing right at the door. The NASB really gives the sense of urgency, the knowledge that every day our Lord Jesus Christ is right there at the door, waiting to go through, waiting for the word that now is the time appointed to return. That knowledge should stir in us some feelings of excitement, of joy, but that knowledge might also conjure a host of other feelings. Perhaps when we think of our Lord's return, we feel nervous anticipation or a measure of fear, perhaps some regret of deeds done or things left undone. Maybe we feel a sense of great happiness at the thought, accompanied with a calm, deep breath, like a weight has been lifted from our shoulders. Or we might feel as though we're not ready, that there's something we would rather do before he returns. He's right there at the door, and we would do well to live every day and make every decision with that thought in mind. And we may have been attending classes, listening to exhortations for years with the message that Jesus is coming back soon, that his return is imminent. And we've got to be very careful if we feel that message is getting old. Perhaps that form of patience is wearing thin. Our lives sometimes may feel like they're long, but when compared to history and God's eternity, our lives are but a drop in the vast oceans. If we've been waiting for decades, even a lifetime, for the return of Christ, aren't our mortal lives but a moment in the Almighty's great plan? 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, With God a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I know this is speaking metaphorically, but my brain likes to kind of play with numbers a bit. And so if 1,000 years equals one day, then a lifetime of 70 years is about 1 hour and 40 minutes. A lifetime of 100 years is equal to 2 hours and 24 minutes. And so can't we just wait for a couple of hours for something really important? Now, I believe that time with God is not a linear function as it is with us, in this example of 1,000 years to one day. It was as if it was just last week that God created everything we see and know. And so the point is, we've got to hang on and continue to live as though today could be the day, because it could. It could be today, could be tomorrow, it could be another 10 years, it could be longer. But the point is, we have to find a way to keep the excitement and anticipation real. And when our Lord does return, the wait will seem to have been a moment. Second Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And that long suffering is the same word as patience in James 5. Just back again into Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13 to 15 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Think about how long, how many years Abraham patiently waited before he received the son of promise. And he waited his whole life, from the time of leaving the land of his forefathers for the eternal promise that he has not yet received. Because, as Hebrews 11, verse 39 to 40 says, concerning the faithful spoken of in that chapter, Hebrews 11, it says there, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And we could go to the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Suffereth, there is the same word as patience in James 5. And so, in other words, love is patient for a long time. If we're working on developing patience as a stronger characteristic in our lives, then the love we have for others and the outworking of that love can be that much more effective. The more patient we are with each other and even all people we come into contact with, the more love we can give. Conversely, though, if our patience is lacking, then our ability to display this godly love is cut short. Returning again then to James 5 and verse 7, it says there, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Perhaps we think of Jesus' teaching and his parables to do with farming and husbandry. For example, Luke 8 verse 15 from a parable that is well known to us of the sower and the four soils. In that verse, Luke 8:15, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So patience is an active ingredient in those who have something to offer to God through the outworking of their faith in work. We might think of working at something for a long time before anything seems to come of it. Maybe you can recall a time when you labored at a particular task in the ecclesial vineyard for perhaps years before the fruit of that work was apparent. Maybe you're in the middle of a scenario like that right now, and it just seems like the work is ongoing and there's nothing to show for it. Carry on, because God will grant the increase. And back in Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells a little parable about a fig tree. Luke 13, verses 6 to 9 say, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And so, as we know, Jesus tried to make the conditions good for Israel to bring forth fruit. And he's arranged the conditions for us, given us the tools we need, the food, the water, prepared the soil. And so, bringing our thoughts then to the emblems symbolizing the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we continue to remember him on a regular basis together, and wait for that day when he might share this meal anew with us in his kingdom. And not this meal only, but share all things. May we patiently wait with cheerful endurance, considering him to be right at the door, ready to gather his beloved bride.